Belong to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Eric Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nichol.
And today on the show, we're talking about buyer's agents. And I had a really interesting conversation when we were at our podcast dinners down in Queenstown, Andrew, taking 10 of the listeners out. And I got into a conversation with Jay about buyer's agents, and I realised that we had never talked about this on the show, 685 episodes deep.
So it's amazing that there's still topics we haven't covered.
Well, just walk us through, for anybody who doesn't know what a buyer's agent is and what they do, because they're not very common in New Zealand.
No, they are definitely far less common in New Zealand, and that's because we're DIYers. We like to do stuff ourselves, and bugger paying someone else to do something. If we can do it ourselves, we'll just do it ourselves. Places like Australia, on the other hand, you see them all the time. We'll talk more about that later. But basically, a buyer's agent is someone that you pay to go out and find the properties that you're looking for based on the criteria that you've set. And this can be for your own house or it can be for an investment. Often people use them for investment more so than an owner-occupier. But it saves you a whole lot of time because you don't have to go searching for deals. They can do that and they might have off-market listings. You get different types of deals through their connections presented to you. And the great part is you can find a property in a different location. So if you're relocating to Timaru, for example, and you're based in Auckland, you can have a buyer's agent on the ground there looking for someone. Now, you don't always pay, so you can use, you know, say a Harcourts might have a buyer's agent there that specifically looks for properties based on criteria, but generally speaking, you do pay for the service.
Though it's interesting that in America, and I know we're going to talk about overseas models in a minute, that on every real estate transaction, there's a 6% fee. Which the seller pays, yes. The seller pays for it, but the fee, the commission, gets split between the buyer's agent and the seller's agent.
Well, that happens here as well. So if an agent, for example, with Harcourts, you might have 100% of the commission and then the business takes a chunk off the top, and then what's left, the net, gets split between a buyer's agent and a listing agent, but it's just that, generally speaking, the lion's share goes to the listing agent, so most agents tend to want to list things rather than to sell things.
Well, let's talk as well about, well, what sort of properties might a buyer's agent go and find for me? And I suppose this depends on a couple of things. I think it depends on what type of buyer's agent they are, and then also what you brief them on. So when I'm talking about different types of buyer's agents, there are ones that are specialised in new builds, and I guess that's what we do here at Opus Partners. And then you've got ones that focus more on existing properties. And then when I'm talking about, well, it depends what you brief them on, it comes down to really, are you looking for a property that's going to grow in value more quickly, or are you looking for things that tend to be high yielding? Now, there could be some other things. Maybe you're doing some buy and flips. Maybe there are some other things, but this was generally what we'd be seeing. And so I just want to talk about, well, what sort of property you might get recommended based on what you brief the buyer's agent, and also what sort of buyer's agent you go for. So let's say that you want a growth property and you're dealing with somebody who deals with new builds. Look, you're probably, just as an example, going to get something like maybe a 3-bedroom townhouse in a central Auckland suburb or a south Auckland suburb. It might be something like a Mangere Bridge, something along those lines. If you're wanting a growth property that's more existing, you're probably going to be recommended a standalone house which has some potential for renovation. And that might be somewhere on the outskirts of Hamilton, and, you know, something along those lines that's still reasonably affordable that you could go and renovate. If you're looking for more yield properties, high yield properties, if it's a new build sort of buyer's agent you're looking to deal with, you're probably going to get recommended something that's maybe like a dual key apartment or a room by room rental, might be in Auckland, might be near a university. If it was an existing property and you're wanting high yield, then you're probably looking at something, maybe a home and income property in Rotorua, something that's multi-income producing, probably in a smaller town where yields tend to be higher. Now, these are just some examples, and depending which buyer's agent you deal with, of course, you're going to be getting some different things. But I just want to give you a sense of what sort of properties you might actually be looking at, depending on who you're working with. But you mentioned before, Andrew, that these things sometimes cost money, so just walk us through the fees.
So often if you're buying a new build, you can generally get that service most often for free or at a nominal charge. Some companies do charge, say, a compliance fee. Which I know that Propeller do that. Sometimes companies will charge a coaching fee. So Positive Real Estate do that. And so, you know, you're paying for a particular service and then the property sourcing might be free on top of that. For existing properties, generally speaking, you pay about $10,000 plus GST. And again, it can vary depending on what you're looking for and how specific it is.
And then just to talk about some examples of companies that you can use here in New Zealand, let's start on the existing side. Generally, I think the only people who do this now that I've been able to find is a company called iFind Property.
Yeah, they're probably the most common.
Certainly for existing properties, though I've noticed they have started moving into new builds
yes,
as well.
A little bit.
Yep, probably more on the commercial side. It's quite interesting. Property Apprentice, which is a property coaching company here in New Zealand, they used to have one, and I'm pretty sure it was called the Property Agency.
That's right.
But it was actually closed down.
Yeah, that was a real estate firm, like a traditional real estate firm as well. But I think they kind of sought more for people that were looking for a buyer's agent as well. But you don't think they're there anymore?
No, I've noticed. I haven't been able to find them about anything online. And they were struck off the company's register in April this year. So pretty good sign that they're probably no longer in business.
Probably right.
Now, if you're looking for somebody to help you find a new build, of course, you can use your old friends here at Opus Partners.
Oh.
But there are other companies as well that do this sort of thing. And if you did a Google search, hey, you'd probably come up with places like Propeller Properties, which is Nikki Connors, Positive Real Estate, Diamonds, they're a small one up in Auckland, and then Property Factory as well. Now, I'm not necessarily telling you guys to go and use those, but if you did a Google search, you did your due diligence, and you felt like you wanted to work with them, fill your boots, go for it. And it's quite interesting, Andrew, talking about, I suppose you could call them competitors, in a public forum, because there are certain things that you'd say, oh, look, I would do it a bit differently. And of course, they'd probably say that about
Absolutely.
Us as well. But look, we're not going to go into some of those details right now, unless you really want to, in which case, send us a text 5522. But I suppose the big question that people should ask as well is, well, should I use a buyer's agent, and who are they right for, Andrew?
So they're great for people who are time poor. So if you're really busy with work and life, and you're wanting to buy an investment, or again, you're relocating, you want to find a new house for yourself, awesome. Or if you're starting out, so you've got less than 5 to 10 properties and you're wanting to build your portfolio, you've got some criteria around that, or if you're partnering with someone that can help you set those criteria, great way to get started. And also, if you're using one of the options that has kind of a financial planning component to it, then that's great as well. If you want more than just to buy a property, you actually want a financial plan around that, some more budgeting advice around structure and those kind of things, great option. The kind of people that this service would be wrong for is people that just want to do it themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely a way that you can invest.
If you get a kick out of it.
If you get a kick out of it, then go do it. If you really like the thrill of negotiating and doing the deals and late nights and open homes and stuff like that, then awesome, do that. Again, if you're kind of time poor and want your hand held, great option. If you are really fizzed up about getting into the market, or if you need to understand the market a bit more, if it's part of what you do as a job, then probably best you just do it yourself.
And I guess the other people who a buyer's agent isn't right for, Andrew, are people who aren't actually buying. So I meet lots of investors all of the time. I know that sounds really simple, but like if you've already got some properties that you want to do stuff with.
Yes.
So if you've got a property that you want to subdivide and you want to build something on it, buyer's agent's not right for you because you've already got the land. You've already got what you want to do with it. I know sometimes you might have questions that a buyer's agent might be able to answer around what you do with it, but they're probably not going to be the right fit for you in that instance because you've already got it. And I suppose the next question to answer is, okay, sweet. If I've decided that a buyer's agent is the right fit for me and what I want to do, how do you actually go out and find one? Like, how do I choose a buyer's agent? Sweet, I can go to Google and I can Google property coach, or I can Google buyer's agent, or, I can find that list of companies I talked about before and start going through them. My advice to you is this. Your relationship with a buyer's agent is going to be an advisory relationship where they're going to be recommending things to them. And so I do think that you've got to, first of all, figure out whether you trust them, because they are going to be telling you things from a position where they know something that you potentially don't, and you're not taking their word for it, but they're advising you to do things because generally there's going to be some amount of knowledge gap. And look, at the risk of infuriating our team here at Opus and asking you to ask a lot of questions, here are some things that I would do. I would be interrogating the mindset of the person because I would want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, and see, even in a company like ours, for example, you have different personalities and, a different investor might get on better with me than the likes of Peter. So someone that just wants, you know, the job done, doesn't want to even have to, you know, have a phone conversation or too many emails.
Don't want to talk about your kids, go with Andrew.
Great for me. If you really want to kind of sit down on a regular basis and do the more nitty-gritty stuff and understand every last detail, then someone like Peter would be a good fit, right?
And I think also you want to understand, well, what's your process for finding properties? Are your team actually going out and finding as many properties and investigating as many opportunities as possible? Or are you only recommending properties from a select group of people? I think you'd want to understand, well, what do you recommend? Yes. And importantly, what don't you recommend? So, you know, if I was going to iFind Property, which full disclosure, I've not done because existing properties aren't my bag right now. But, you know, I'd be like, so what don't you recommend? And what do you recommend? For you, what is a good investment? And for you, what is not a good investment? Because if you can understand that and be like, well, are we on the same page or not? Yes. That's going to help you understand, like, sweet, I want to get into bed with these guys, or I don't want to because I feel like they are or they aren't the right fit, and whether you trust them. And I think what's really important is that your buyer's agent can demonstrate that they know something, that they've got some substance behind them. And I think you've got to walk away from your meetings with them being like, sweet, these guys have got it. They understand what they're talking about. They've got my best interests at heart, yep. These kinds of things.
And the best interests at heart's quite a big thing, because often they might be receiving a marketing fee, or more than likely we're receiving a marketing fee for a successful sale on a property. And so there creates a bias. And actually we did a really good article on our website about whether or not property coaches are biased. And if there is bias, how do you mitigate that bias? And we got a bit of a heat from some of our competitors over it.
It's because we took screenshots of some of their LinkedIn posts. And of course we blanked out their things, but we just gave examples of things that we felt comfortable with and didn't feel comfortable with. And actually, if producer David reminds me, I'll drop that link in the show notes, because I actually was quite proud of that specific one. And just walk us through as well, Andrew, how is it different in New Zealand from Australia? Because I know that there are some companies which have a bit of profile in New Zealand that just operate a bit differently.
Yeah, so in Australia, you've got Empower Wealth. So I've been following their stuff for a wee while now. And they've actually got a podcast called The Property Couch. That I haven't listened to, but Ed tells me it's really good. So
I know a lot of people listening to this show also listen to The Property Couch and get a lot of value out of it.
I've put that on my to listen to on my way home tonight. And I think they charge about 6% for the services of the property source side of things. And there's actually some friends of mine called Elite Buyers Agents, and they're based in Melbourne, I think maybe Sydney as well. These guys are awesome. I went across to Sydney, it must have been 10 plus years ago now, and looked at their business model and wanted to bring it to New Zealand. I just didn't think New Zealand was maybe at a point where there was so much pressure in the market that people would be prepared to pay for that service. But over in Melbourne, it is so hard to get a good deal on a house that people will be more than willing to pay 50, 100 grand just to have someone negotiate it and secure that property. And they've got so many happy clients. Awesome model. I'm going to take Ed over to meet them.
Were these the guys that you said go to
the auctions? The auctions.
Yeah, I know. I remember about that. And I suppose the last question before we wrap up is really, well, is a buyer's agent the same thing as a property coach? And, you know, is this what you guys are here at Opus? Here at Opus, we call ourselves property partners because it's kind of this mix between going out and sourcing the property, performing that buyer's agent role, but also having the financial advice in there. So it's kind of a buyer's agent plus.
Somewhere in between, yeah.
Because that's where we've actually gone out and we'll crunch the numbers on properties, yep, which is what a buyer's agent absolutely should do, but also working to create that overarching plan for property investment. And here at Opus, we use My Wealth Plan, which is our in-house planning tool, which I remember I talked about it not long ago and said that I wanted to open this up because at the moment it's all behind password protected. And
that's a great idea.
I haven't done it yet, but I've briefed the people who build our websites and tools and said, I want to do this. I just want to make a couple of changes to the tool, and then we're going to open it up so people can actually go through, you know, put in their incomes, put in their what they're doing at the moment, and see, well, how on track are you for what you actually want to achieve in life, whether that's 100K passive income per year or whatever it happens to be. Don't get too excited because it's not live yet, but that is coming down the line as well, because we got some texts in, Andrew, from listeners of the show who said, oh, that's a great idea. I'd really appreciate it if you guys could do that.
Yes. When it was my idea originally, I thought it was a great idea. That's why I made that comment before, because Ed has stolen my idea and claimed all credit.
I thought you'd forgotten that. That's why you said it was such a great idea. Now, hey, I've got three things just as we wrap up. Of course, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. But three things for you. I want you to text me, because my question for you is, should we do audio versions of our articles on our website? So what I mean by this is, we've since hired a journalist who is currently writing three articles a week for our website. And I had a couple of people text in and say, hey, I'd really appreciate if you could do audio versions of them so I can listen in the car, because I'm not a big reader.
Will she read it or will you read it?
Well, I don't know. I haven't thought about that yet.
I can see you sitting with a scotch and reading it in front of a fire.
But what I want to know is, you guys listening to the show, would you actually like this? You know, should we record those articles, which are probably, those would be longer podcasts and they'd be, you know, I guess scripted in a way. But would you like that or would you prefer to read it? And hey, make sure you tune in for tomorrow's show, because we're going to be talking about Whanganui and talking about, you know, is that a good place to invest? And I suppose this is an example of the sort of number crunching that a buyer's agent might do. And also, make sure you tune in tonight, because at 7 p.m, the second episode of The Deal goes live.
And put it on your social media. I love being tagged in on all the social medias for all of that. We've got some great feedback from the last one.
So make sure that you tune in tonight, thedeal.co. We've got Williams Corporation. Blair Chappell, the Managing Director of Williams Corporation, is coming and pitching some properties in Auckland. Make sure you tune in for that. It is a great episode. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Evan Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.